and welcome to the Encounter Mercy podcast. I'm your host, Vince Dragone, and I have with me, as always, Father Andy Boyd. How you doing, Andy?
Pretty good, and you, Vince?
I'm doing really well, especially after hearing a lot of feedback on our episode so far.
So you're saying, you said that you got a lot of feedback, especially from family and friends. It's wonderful to hear. I've seen a few bits of feedback, but so what have we heard so far?
What I was really surprised, I have a lot of Protestant friends who started listening and were offering great feedback, saying things like, I can't wait for the next one, learning a lot.
It's awesome. I hope that, you know, they're not intimidated by the Catholic priest.
I don't think anybody's intimidated by you.
They shouldn't be. No one should be intimidated of me.
So I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's offered your support so far. And one of the things that I've been asking everyone who's given any feedback is, you know, ask questions about some things that you want us to cover. If there's anything that we missed in any of the past episodes, or there's anything that's kind of tugging at you that you want us to cover, reach out.
Send us an email. It'd be great, because I hope in the near future we can do an episode specifically on listeners' questions, where we can try. I can do my best to, and you can help me out, and we can figure this out on how we're going to do our best to answer these sometimes very difficult questions that people have.
Yeah, so if you have a question, send it into info@encountermercy.com, or you can send it in Facebook Messenger. You can post it on Twitter. You can put it in the comments section, and we'll try to find it and answer it in one of our listener question episodes.
Make sure you check our website, encountermercy.com, as we have a area that you can send in your vocal feedback to. Give us a call, and the number's listed on our contact page, so give us a call and leave us a message, and we'll do our best to see if we can incorporate that into the show.
That would be really cool. I forgot about the phone number that we have, and maybe we can find a way to actually stream it on the show as well.
Yeah, we can throw that in there.
That's pretty neat. So anyway, we are going into the second week of Advent.
Yeah, just finished the second Sunday.
And this is an episode I kind of wanted to post really before Advent started. However, we had our Thanksgiving episode. And we
had to talk about Mary.
And then we had our one on Mary, because it was on the last week would have been the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So that's kind of why we wanted to release the Theotokos episode then. So today we're going to talk about Advent. We're now in the second week. And I guess we'll just start with, what is Advent, Andy? And why do we celebrate it? And why don't you hear more about it? All you hear is Santa Claus and presents and all these things. And really, unless you go to church, you know, if you go to a Catholic church every Sunday, that's where you start to hear about Advent. You start to see the different colors that the priest is wearing. There's this Advent wreath. And I kind of want to talk about some of those things. So what is Advent?
So Advent, of course, is the season of preparation. And it's every season in the church is a season of preparation, right? Because we're always preparing for that final day. And not to bring the mood down, but it's true. We are always preparing for when we meet Christ again. And so we're always in a season of preparation. But in a very specific way, we have two seasons of preparation in the church that are set aside to try to give some help to the Christian to move forward towards bringing Christ into their life. And so Christmas time, when Christ came as a child, we are preparing our hearts for the remembrance of that great day when he, the Lord, was born into this world from a woman. As we talked with Theotokos, he came from Mary because he had to be born of woman as a normal human being. The only difference is, of course, she was without sin and he also was without sin. And so Jesus being born of woman into this world, we are preparing specifically for that moment. Now, he's already been born into this world. He's already been born as a child. But what are we preparing for? We're preparing for him to enter into our hearts. And so we hear throughout all of the Advent season, we'll hear from the different prophets who are making the message that there would be a Savior coming. And we will hear especially from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah will tell us of all the different prophecies that he has been given by God about the Messiah who is to come. And so we have this season of preparation in the church, which, of course, is different than Lent. Advent is different than Lent, but they share a lot of the same things. share a lot of the same attributes and expressions.
Can you touch upon some of those?
Absolutely. So, for instance, Advent is a time of penance, but it's not in the same idea as Lent. So Advent, we're doing penances to make room in our hearts for the coming of the Christ, for the coming of the Christ. And then in Lent, we're making preparations. We are going through our experience of the cross, of the time in the desert with Christ, of his suffering, his pain, for his eventual death. But of course, we are people of the resurrection. So we know that the death is happening, but of course also does come his resurrection. But we have to go through that experience of the cross before we can get to the resurrection. In Advent, although we know the cross, we see the connection to the cross, it's a different sort of penitential preparation in the fact that we are cleaning out. It's like, it's almost like a time to clean out the bad things. You know, we always should be cleaning out those bad things in our lives that cause us to fall away from Christ. But Advent is a time of preparation for the Christ to be brought into our hearts, preparing a space for him to come into our hearts.
One way I've seen it put is it's a lot like an athlete practicing for a game. You know, you don't just have the football players go out for the Super Bowl and they haven't practiced in a month. No, they're practicing very hard and they're working towards this day so that they can play the game. And it's a lot like we should be going to confession. We should be not engaging in all of the worldly things like buying gifts and wanting things. I mean, we certainly buy gifts, but I guess overabundance.
Right.
We should be taking, we don't necessarily have to give things up, although in the Eastern Church, I believe they give up meat and dairy and maybe some other things too, for the whole entire, pretty much the whole entire month. But, you know, we should be avoiding excess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just like in Lent, yeah, it's not in Lent where we are told prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. The three tenets of Lent, prayer, fasting, almsgiving. But in this season of Advent, we take a different look on it. We see the different weeks. So the first week of Advent, we hear about hope, that there's hope to come. There's hope coming for us, that there is salvation coming, that then in the second week that we are in, peace. We're in the moment of peace, that Christ is the one that is going to bring the peace into our lives. And then next week, we hear about the joy. And so joy, laetare, is the Latin word for joy. And you'll hear a lot about Laetare Sunday and the fact that the priest wears that pink vestment. Why in the world is Father wearing pink? Well, it's actually not pink. It's rose. It may look pink, but I promise you, well, there's some guys that would say, hey, oh, it's pink. Others will say, oh, it's rose.
Real men wear pink.
That's right. Real men wear pink, but this is rose. And, you know, if you're listening, any of the people in my parish, you'll see my mother's working on a rose chasuble for me, and she's wanting to get it done in time for next weekend.
Oh, very cool.
So, like, she's working real hard right now to get it done, so hopefully you'll all see it. And then, finally, our fourth week, which this year, just like the last few years, and usually we don't get to experience this as much, because it's such a short time. On the fourth week of Advent, we hear about the love that God has, and how does that culminate in the birth of his son? And so the love that God has for his people, he shows it, he expresses it through the birth of his son, through the birth of himself into the world as the Logos. And so the word spoken into creation. And so we have these 4 weeks of Advent, and we have these themes that kind of flow through it. And there's the whole purpose of this is to be directing us, to guide us, like a guided meditation, guide us through these 4 weeks of preparation. I don't know about you, and I can make assumptions. You know what happens when you assume, but the point is that you have two wonderful children, and you want to make sure that Christmas is perfect for them, right?
Yes.
Perfect. And now, granted, I also know that you are a good Catholic man, but let's just say that, you know, you're doing your best to make Christmas perfect for your kids. So you're going to be out shopping, you're going to be doing the preparations and everything that's going to take time for Christmas. And a lot of people are doing that. You know, that we had Black Friday, people were out going crazy, buying stuff. You had that Cyber Monday a few days later, you have people buying, consumerism, taking and taking and taking in. Why? what is the purpose? Well, the real purpose that, this is just me saying this now, but I think that a lot of people would agree, the real purpose that we take these things in is we want to give them back out. But what's the purpose of giving it out? Is it that we want the credit to ourselves? Look what I got you. Look what I got you. Or look what Santa got you if you have kids. You know, but is it all about me? Or is it about the giving? And that's where we need to be focusing on, is the gift of giving. And that's the purpose of Advent, is to prepare us, to focus us into the gift of giving. And Christ, who gave himself to the world so that we might have salvation, is now asking us to give of ourselves so that others can experience him from us. So that's kind of one of the things that I think we need to focus on during our time in Advent. That, yes, it's a season of expectant hope. It's a season of excitement, because that is true. We should be excited during Advent. We know who's coming. We know who's coming. So we have excitement because Christ, God, is coming to earth. So we have these four, as I was saying, those 4 weeks of Advent where we can truly prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child.
So going back real quick, Advent, I guess it's translated Advenio.
Advenio into the Latin, yeah. Now, I'm bad with languages, as some of my good friends in seminary would know. I should have not passed Latin. But
you said you weren't supposed to pass Greek either.
Yeah, I should have been. I know a little bit just because it was pounded into me, just like this one, Advenio, yes.
And means to come to.
Right.
What else does the season of Advent start? It started last week in the church.
Right. So the way to look at it is it's always the Sunday after the Feast of St. Andrew the Apostle. So that's one way to look at it. But the way you can figure it out is the whole calendar. There is 34 years in liturgical year and all these other fun things. And if you count it out right, it's always the Sunday after Christ the King Sunday. So we celebrated Christ the King, the coming of the King. See this theme? The church likes to do things with themes. So you have mm-hmm. the coming of Christ the King, and then we enter into the season of preparation for the coming of the King, and then we get the King of the universe as a child. So we have all these experiences of the coming of Christ. So yeah, this year, by happenstance, it starts on December 1st. Doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes sure. it'll start in November. Sometimes it'll start somewhere between the 1st and the 3rd, or even the 5th of December. But it's right about that time.
It starts the new ecclesiastical year for the
That's
church.
That's right, yeah. So the last Sunday of the liturgical year is Christ the King. And then Advent, a good place to start the new year, because we are preparing for the Christ.
So growing up, what did you do in your household for Advent?
We always had an Advent wreath, and that was the basis of our Advent lessons. I remember the Advent wreath, which was passed down from the different generations.
Oh, so that's cool.
My mom got it from her mom, and she got it from her mom, and it just kind of went down. And being that my mom's the oldest, it got into our family. So we have an Advent wreath that we light every year, and it was always lit at dinner time. Now, my family's not exactly the best when it comes to praying, and we never prayed. My mother just made sure that Advent wreath was on the table, and it was lit, darn it. And so we always had that lit.
Nice. I don't recall ever having an Advent wreath growing up. And I remember whenever I went to Catholic school for the first, I guess, until fourth grade, I believe, and I remember we would make out of cardboard Advent wreaths and bring them home and stuff. And I think we would paste the candles up on it at dinner time. But, you know, we always had the chocolate Advent calendars. I remember, you know, that was always really exciting.
Yeah.
And actually I have some for my kids this year that we're doing, but, it's always like, I don't know, that chocolate has its own taste. Like that's the only time you ever, I don't know what it is, but it's, That taste of that chocolate has always been the same. I've never tasted it anywhere except for in the Advent calendars.
Can't say I've ever had one. So I don't
really?
Know.
I mean, it's nothing amazing.
My guess is it's rather waxy.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah.
It's really just a countdown calendar till when Santa Claus gets here.
I was going to say, because it ends on the 25th.
Yeah. So to really call it an Advent calendar, I'm not really sure. But that's something we always did. But in our house now, We made an Advent wreath that we put out. We light it at dinner time as well. Try to have prayer and then reflection and then light it. So that's something that I'm really happy to start that tradition with my family. And
that's the whole point of the Advent wreath, actually. It was originally started in the Protestant churches. It's not a Catholic thing. It's not a Catholic thing at all. And it was started in the Protestant churches as a way for families to participate in Advent, in the preparation of their homes. So actually, the history of the Advent wreath comes from many, many moons ago. It's when the Americans, because it's an American thing, when the Americans were traveling by coach and buggy, and you had the big wheels. And so when the winter time, it started to get colder, you know, we see that it's dark and you want to go to bed by 4 p.m. because the sun's down and it gets colder. And sometimes you see that white stuff falling, and you would need light. You would need light. So to bring some life into their places that they were resting, they'd take the wheels off of their wagons, and usually they'd hang them on the walls, but sometimes they'd lay them out flat, and they'd take the green from outside and they'd put it around the edge of the wheel, and they would actually have enough candles, not just like ours where we only do the four major points.
Sure.
They'd light a new candle each every day.
Wow.
And they would put the green, because the greenery from the evergreen bushes and trees, of course, it's the life in the darkness. You know, what are we preparing for? So the Protestant pastors and ministers, they would use this as a symbol, as a way for people to really be able to experience what the preparation season was for. So they would put the greenery out the first week with all the candles, and they'd light a candle. And then they'd add the berries and different things like that, because it brought in the warmth of the candlelight and it allowed them to experience the time passing. And so as a wheel is a circle, the whole point of the circle, it's never ending. So once you get to the end of lighting the wreath, yes, it's completely lit, but then you start over and you keep going. And the whole idea is that our preparation is never ending. Our preparation for the coming of Christ is never ending. And as the more weeks go by and you light more candles, the brighter the light gets, the warmer it gets, and the more dangerous it gets.
Very cool. I had no idea that's where that started. Is that where all wreaths started, or is that just kind of...
Well, I mean, that's the purpose of the Advent wreath was, sure. It was brought up by the Protestants to try to give the people an understanding of what is this season of Advent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all Christianity comes from, as we know, from Jesus Christ himself through the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church has always held an Advent season. And so as the different denominations broke off from the Catholic Church, they kept a lot of our traditions. For instance, the Lutherans. Martin Luther, to his dying day, would have believed he was a Roman Catholic priest. He would have not thought that he started his own religion, because he didn't. He didn't. And so then the exception is King Henry, when he started the Anglican Church. Now, a lot of those Anglicans to this day still believe they are Anglo-Catholics.
Right.
And that's true. They are. They are still, to a point, have a lot of commonalities with us. The Anglicans, different from the Episcopalians. But the Anglicans, some of them are even more Catholic than the Catholic churches. But they have connections to the faith. And so their pastors, who were understanding, because, you know, after all the years of training and studying, and before they had the Protestant seminaries, the Protestant pastors would just understudy from another pastor. So after all the years of training and studying and education, how would you take these traditions that come from another denomination, the mother denomination of Catholicism, and explain it to their people? Well, they would use the wreath, the Advent wreath, as a symbol, remember? So we're people that are focused on symbols and signs, because we live in a physical world, so we have to have things around us to explain.
Sure.
And so the wreath became that way for them to explain and give purpose to the season of Advent. Otherwise, just like in our secular world, what is the point of December? Preparation for Christmas and getting to see Santa. That's right. Right? But the Protestant pastors, the Catholic pastors, we're all trying to point the way to Christ and give a way for people to take those images and experiences into their homes So originally, the Advent wreath was never in the church. It was the point of lighting it in the church to then take it home, where then you could live out the Advent experience.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's all stuff that I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea that's where that originated. Amazing. And that's one of the things, and I know that you said this tradition originated in the Protestant churches, and I know that the Catholics have way more tradition
sure.
than most other Protestants. You know, in fact, they don't like a lot of that tradition
right.
in it. And that's, you know, that's, I kind of tend to disagree with that, but that's what I love about, you know, the Catholic Church is we have all these traditions. And as you mentioned, you know, we're humans. We like these symbols. We like these things. It kind of relates a lot of these things into our lives.
Yes.
Something that it's relatable. And if you don't have that, those traditions then become, you know, the secular traditions that we have.
Right.
And some of them lead you down a bad road. Such, you know, the consumerism is not, you know, that leads, you know, what is the average credit card debt in the United States right now? I think it's between like $15,000 and $20,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's astronomical. And it's not something that, you know, just came up. It didn't just happen that way.
No.
You weren't born with that.
No.
You know, it's this always wanting, desiring more, looking at other people and saying, oh, I want that. I want that.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year, people are just racking up. A lot of people don't have the money on Black Friday.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people don't have the money to be buying all that. They just throw it on credit cards. Oh, I'll pay it off. I'll pay it off later.
Yeah.
I'll pay it off when my tax return comes in.
Yeah.
And then they never do. And it just keeps perpetuating. But that's where I kind of like the traditions in our church is, instead of focusing on some of these bad ones, I can focus on, you know, the life of the church.
Yeah.
And really bring myself into that and my family into that. And I think it's beautiful. And we barely have any debt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Parents of little children, you're going to want to skip ahead. Just giving you a forewarning real quick. Skip ahead. I'll wait. Okay. You skipped? Good. I hate to break it to you, but that's the whole problem with Santa Claus.
Oh, yes.
Santa Claus, who is supposed to be modeled after St. Nicholas, and now he's turned into this the Coca-Cola Santa, where he's a big, fat, jolly man who just who's married, which is wrong, and brings gifts to people's houses. What did St. Nicholas do? Who was a bishop? He is a bishop. Nicholas, who is... You know, you'll see a lot on the Catholic Twitters on his feast day about him punching heretics. Because what did he do? Well, he was at one of the councils. And of course, as a priest, I should know this. And if I don't remember right now, and I feel bad. So all you priests, if there's any priests listening and you can say, oh, I know that council. Well, good for you. But he's at a council and Arius is there, the Arian heresy. And what does he do? He gets into a fist fight with Arius and knocks him out. And that's why in canon law, another reason why certain people aren't allowed to wear rings and have facial hair, because the different groups would start getting into fist fights, and it's a lot easier to pull on a beard to hold someone down.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Yeah, all these fun things. But St. Nicholas has been changed over and over and over again from going from the whole purpose of him giving money was to save a girl who was going to be sold off to a sex ring to save her from that because her father didn't have enough money to pay off his debt. And so what did St. Nicholas do? He went and took money and he threw it through their open window so that she wouldn't have to be sold off. And now it's that gift. That's the whole point of Nicholas giving out gifts, is to be this person, this saint who gives life and purpose and meaning and joy to other people. And now it's just, give me the best toy. Give me the best toy. Even as an adult, we still say, give me the best toy that I can open on Christmas morning.
Right. Saint Nicholas was the spirit of Jesus.
Yeah.
For the most part. It was what he was doing. He was doing God's work.
He was a bishop. Like, he was in persona Christi, and specifically in the person of Christ.
Right. Santa Claus isn't doing that.
No.
It has no relation to Jesus. It has no relation to doing good for others. It has no relation to Jesus whatsoever. It's just a big fat guy that really, I think you touched upon it, the Coca-Cola. The Santa Claus of now is what was it, from the 40s or the 30s? Yeah. I don't forget, early 1900s, where, you know, the Coca-Cola commercials were coming out. I can't remember exactly where it was, but that's where Santa Claus comes from now.
Yeah.
It's not even something that's that old.
Yeah. And so this whole season of preparation of our hearts, our interior, you know, the whole idea is that the interior needs to be ready so that the exterior can be ready as well. But we're preparing our hearts for the coming of the Christ child. And instead, here we are preparing our homes to show off, you know, the beautiful home. Now, I'm not going to lie. I love to decorate for Christmas. My house is going to be decorated here in the next few days for Christmas. And it's going to be ready probably from this upcoming Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, through the end of New Year's Day or that week.
Sure.
And I love decorating for Christmas. I think it's one of my favorite things to have in the house because it just feels so festive and warm and inviting. But the question is what's the purpose? What's the underlying meaning? Well, this whole season of Advent is supposed to give that credence and that purpose.
Yes.
Is to bring us to focus on Christ.
It's not to create a space for all the presents.
Exactly.
We're not creating an altar under the tree for the presents and Santa Claus.
Right. And that's why I encourage, if you have a nativity scene that you have in your house, set it up as the first Christmas decoration, but set it up on the third week, this upcoming Sunday. Set it up, because especially if you have kids, you can start to explain that everybody's getting in place. You know, Mary and Joseph would have been traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's not a quick travel, especially when Mary was pregnant. You know, so they're in the process right now of traveling towards Bethlehem. And so as they're preparing to get into Bethlehem, people are starting to show up at the manger scene. And so we can have this experience of explaining to the children, our children, that we are slowly getting into the manger scene. So we can set that up. And then finally on Christmas Eve, if you go to the Christmas Eve Mass or if you're going to go to Christmas Day, on Christmas Eve, you can put out the Christ child because he's born. So at one of the fun traditions that you get to have at the midnight mass is you carry in the Christ child. You don't do that at any of the other masses. There's no ritual at any of the masses. It's only at the midnight mass, or now it's called the mass in the night. Sometimes they have it at 10 p.m. depending on what your church is. But you carry in the Christ child and the priest places the Christ child in the nativity scene, because the whole point is it's now Christ coming in. And so technically the nativity scene is supposed to remain empty at the evening vigil mass because he's not born yet.
Right.
But we bring him in at the night mass in the night. So fun things that you can do at home. That's one of them is, you know, as well as we're going through the rest of the season of Advent, you can continue the process of having an Advent wreath in your house. That's one of the major things I would suggest is that. But having this experience of having the nativity scene slowly come out and explain the different people and maybe even get the scripture passage for it, that would be one of the things that I encourage the young families to do.
That
would be cool.
I think we should do that. Yeah, maybe we can do that with my family. I never thought of it that way. We've always just put it out all at once.
Yeah.
But she's always asking, where's baby Jesus? In fact, my daughter is really cute. She really started understanding a lot of this stuff. It was around last Christmas. And so she saw the nativity at church and she saw baby Jesus in there. So literally pretty much for the whole last year, we're in church. Where's baby Jesus?
Yeah.
So I think we might do that.
It's a fun way because then you can start to explain, okay, why is it all these different things showing up? And you can go through even though it's not Christmas yet, you can go through the passages in the Gospels of, for instance, when Mary and Joseph arrive at the manger. And then you can have the other animals there that were in there. You have your donkey and all the bulls and everything else that you got. And then you can talk about the show when the sheep, the shepherds come. You know, why talking about that. And if you have the star, sometimes in the nativity scene, you have a star. Mm-hmm. So you can hang that up. And the angels, you know, the angels were there praising Christ and praising God. And my favorite, and hopefully, I don't know when it was being broadcast this year, hopefully I didn't miss it yet, is to watch. I always love watching Charlie Brown Christmas. It's just the best, and especially when Linus goes out there to the edge of the stage and gives his dissertation, his when he proclaims the gospel and he tells that story. And yes, it's in the King James Version, but how beautiful. It's just a beautiful scene. So that's another thing I would say is if you have kids, show them the Charlie Brown Christmas, because it really, you know, he does such a good, Charles Schulz did such a good job of explaining Christmas in that he shows the consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
He shows the whole purpose of Christmas, that the Christ child is born. And then he shows that the friends, they get it. They get it. Once Linus says it and they realize they've been picking on Charlie, they can go and they fix up his tree and everything's better and they're happy together. You know, hark the herald angels sing. And so, you know, it's a beautiful tradition there too. And so you have the talking of the angels and then you have the wise men as they come along. So that can be, you know, keep your, that's the other thing. Don't put your Christmas decorations up until the wise men show up, please. That's the most important thing, you know. Let the wise men at least show up, because they came actually a few months later. But, you know, traditionally, when you put your Christmas decorations up, I know I'm switching topics and we're going to get into a Christmas one in a few days here. But the point is that in Christmas, it used to go to the 2nd of February.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep some tradition a little bit. But back to Advent. These are all different things that you can do during Advent to prepare, because that's the whole purpose of Advent, is to prepare our hearts and our homes in hope, in peace, in joy, in love. You know, we were talking a little bit about how we as Catholics celebrate Advent, and I mentioned the different things about how, you know, we took some different traditions from the Protestants. You know, they in the Anglican Church, in the Lutheran Church, even in the Methodist Church, they all have some sort of idea of Advent. And it's not the same as ours. But the one place that we don't see Advent are in the churches of good fun. You know what I mean by that?
Oh,
And they go in, as we've talked before, they do. They go right from Thanksgiving to Christmas. So they're out in their churches today decorating for Christmas. So the whole month of December, it's Christmas in their churches.
Right.
Whereas we're going through this season of preparation, season of hopefully penance, so that we can encounter Christ. You know, that's something that I think that we have as an advantage on our side.
I think there's something for preparing and denying yourself of certain things that you would normally have. There's something about it that when you finally get to that day, when you finally get to Christmas Day, it's just so much more fulfilling. Whereas if you're just celebrating Christmas, you know, starting the day after Thanksgiving all the way until Christmas, it's just not as, to me, I'm someone who loves that waiting patiently and denying yourself of certain things to finally experience that good. And I think a lot of people they don't even know what that is, because they've never experienced it. It's always, oh, I want this now. And I'm like that, trust me.
Oh, we all are. You know, we want that instant gratification.
Oh, yes. But there is something about that waiting and patiently waiting and really enjoying it on Christmas. Christmas Day is amazing.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if I'd be able to, I'd be tired by the time Christmas Day came if we celebrated Christmas pretty much every single day.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, that's just where people are going right now. In secular world, it's, I don't even know if they're going to call it Christmas in a couple of years. It's going to be, I don't know.
What drives me crazy, once again, another pet peeve of mine, I have SiriusXM radio. Christmas music has been playing since Halloween.
Oh, boy.
And I have it programmed into my radio just because I do like to listen to it once we get to the third week of Advent. You know, I like to start listening to it then. And that's fine with me. But it's still programmed in there. So I flip by it every so often. I hear these Christmas songs. Or, for instance, the thing I hate the most so far this year has been the commercial for Walmart for Black Friday. The song, I don't even know, it's by Lizzo, and it drives me nuts. I can't stand the sound of it. But the point is that, like, the whole scene is, it's all decorated for Christmas, and they're all wearing Christmas stocking caps and all these things. And then December 26th, it's all gone.
Yep.
It's all gone. and we are literally just starting Christmas.
We're just starting Christmas.
We're just starting Christmas. If we're following the old tradition, it goes all the way. You have Christmas from that day all the way through to the presentation of Christ in the temple on February 2nd. And if you're at least doing the current tradition of the 12 days of Christmas, because it goes from Christmas Day, it doesn't end on New Year's. It goes all the way through for two more Sundays, actually. So it goes beyond the 12 days of Christmas. But that whole song, 12 days of Christmas, is, you know, everything. I don't know if you've heard this before. It's all pointing to Christ. What a shocking idea. So
we should cover that in our Christmas episode.
We will definitely be covering that in our Christmas episode in the next few days. So the point is that we have these experiences of Christmas, and they are put out of place. You're putting the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not counting down the days till Christmas and the 12 days of Christmas.
No.
A lot of people think it's, oh, it's 12 days until... No, that's not how that
works. No, it's not at all. You know, you have all these things that are lining up after Christmas, and it just continues to get larger and larger and larger. And that's the whole point. Because if you actually do the math, it will get you... for if you did one gift a day and as many as they keep saying, it gets you to February 2nd. Fairly certain if I did my math right, which I normally don't. But that's besides the point, because we are just in a season of preparation now. We are not in Christmas yet. We still have a lot of time for things to happen. Good things. Good things. You know, one of the things that a very good nun once said to me is that we need to be present to the present that's being presented in the present moment from the one who presents it. Yeah, I know it's a lot of presents and presents. So we need to be present. We need to be focused right now on what is in our present moment, what is happening exactly in this moment, so that we can truly receive the present, the gift that God wants to give us when he wants to present it to us, when he wants to give it to us. You know, it's all in his time. But if we keep rushing it, or if we just go ahead and say, forget it, I'm not waiting, I'm just going to get it myself, it's not the same, right? You know, you want to give your kids the Christmas gifts that are the best gifts possible, but you want to give it to them on December 25th.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to find it earlier, you wouldn't be angry with them because they got their gift early, but because they took away the opportunity for you to give it to them, right?
Yep.
And so we have to be present in the moment of preparation for Christ.
Very good. What are we at?
37.
Well, we didn't have a whole lot of banter at the beginning.
No.
So I think that was a good episode.
Yeah. What do you guys think? You going to give us feedback? Huh? Am I going to get an email? I hope I get an email.
Yeah, we want emails.
Email me.
So you mentioned with the nativity scene.
Yeah.
Something that you could do as a family or just a tradition, even if it's by yourself. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to have kids to be able to do these things.
That's right.
An Advent wreath.
An Advent wreath, definitely.
You can buy them pre-made. You can make your own like we did. You can just glue the things on there.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to do it.
I saw someone took, if you have some wood around or like a stump of a tree, they took the stump of the tree and just cut it so you like get a cookie size of a tree stump.
Mm-hmm.
And they drilled holes in it, four holes, for the candles, and then they just laid the the garland and stuff on top.
Yeah, that'd
I
be
thought
nice.
That looked so cool because it was rather rustic. It looked good in their house, but I thought that's a really nice way to do it, and it's not hard.
Right, and it doesn't have to be expensive either.
No,
there's so many different things you can do. And then this year, I ordered some Advent reflections from the Word on Fire Institute that we're going through,
yeah.
And really enjoying that. So. Yeah, that's kind of what we're doing. Those are some things that you can do as well. You don't even have to buy anything. I'm sure there's different apps that have different prayers and reflections.
If you go to the Diocese of Erie website, they always have the Jesse tree ornaments. That's another tradition that I'm not 100% familiar with, but the whole idea is that it prepares 25 different ornaments, or it starts, of course, with the first Sunday of Advent. So it might be more than 25, because sometimes Advent starts in November. Point being that there's these tree, you have a little tree or something, even a paper tree on the wall, and you hang an ornament, and it comes with a scripture passage, Jesse, meaning because the Jesse tree, Christ comes from the stump of Jesse, the root of Jesse's stem.
Okay.
And so it's another scripture passage. It all explains it there on the diocese website. We'll find the link. We'll add it down below in the comments or in the contents of the episode podcast on our website. So make sure you go to our website, encountermercy.com, and check that out. So we'll have that there available. That's another wonderful tradition. I know we're already a few days into the season, but do them all in one night and then keep going.
It's never too late to start.
Never, never. Even the last minute. God always accepts the last minute repentant soul. So
that's right. That's right.
Never too late.
All right. So website, encountermercy.com. Email, info@encountermercy.com.
We also have a form on the website. Please, if you send us an email in there, if you want to receive our newsletter, we'll start sending them out here soon. Make sure you click the yes, sign me up for the email newsletter. I promise you, we will do our best to make sure you do not get any spam from us.
Oh, no, we would never.
We won't spam you.
We're not going to sell anything anyway.
We don't sell your information. It's all safe with us. We won't give it away.
Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We are on LinkedIn. I've been pretty bad about updating that.
We'll get that taken
care
of.
Yeah, and
soon we'll be on YouTube. We're recording the video episodes once we get those taken care of. There, you know, it's been fun with the video editing, and we don't look always the prettiest. So we're trying. I'm trying to work on that.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, I know you got every hair in place. And then we're also now streaming on Twitch. We don't have a very good streaming schedule because sometimes we have to do a few episodes at one time. So. But we will put out on Twitter when we go live, and join us over on twitch.tv/encountermercy. And yes, it is a streaming platform for gamers, but we can use it, and I think it's great. And
it works.
It works. It's
evangelization in the 21st century.
That's right.
That's what we're doing.
Would
so
be awesome.
We got to reach them where you're at.
I would love it, you know, if we could get on the front page someday of Twitch. Highly unlikely, but if we get enough viewers, that'd be really cool. When we're streaming, to go on the front page.
I don't know anything about Twitch, and it doesn't make any sense to me, but it sounds cool.
Yeah, it is
and
cool.
Maybe we, yeah, that'd be neat.
If you want to give us a call, our phone number's on our website, encountermercy.com/contact. It is also area code 814-580-8030. Give us a call and leave us a message, and we'll listen to it, and we will hopefully be able to get back to you in one of our future podcast episodes.
Awesome. Sounds great. One last thing that I'm going to ask you to do is, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, wherever you're listening to this. Hit that subscribe button. And if you like what we're doing, leave us a review, please.
Yes, please.
That really helps the algorithms, especially I know on Apple and Google. I'm not sure how it works on the other ones. I'm sure it's all the same. It really helps us reach more people. So if you could please subscribe and leave a comment, leave a rating in whatever platform that you listen in. We would really appreciate it. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up.
Yeah. What do you think, Vince? I'm hungry. Let's go get some lunch.
Let's get some lunch and then go to Mass.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
See you later, guys.
All right. Take care.